Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Justice is a cardinal virtue defined as the constant, firm will to give God and neighbor their due, but not the due that we might randomly prefer, but the due that God has commanded. And towards parents, God has given the highest standard among people. The fourth commandment from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, "You shall honor your father and your mother." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Luther: "We should fear and love God so that we do not despise nor anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them." Out of holy fear and love toward God, there are two things that we must avoid. We are not to despise our parents or other authorities, number one. Number two, we are not to anger them, but instead. And Luther presents five positive aspects for obeying this commandment. Number one, we are to honor our parents. Number two, we are to serve our parents. Number three, we are to obey our parents. Number four, we are to love our parents. And number five, we are to cherish our parents. And if people loved and honored God enough to keep this commandment, then all of life, structure in society, and all of the estates would be infinitely better. The fourth commandment is a transitional commandment from the first table of the law, establishing our right relationship with God. And it is the first and foremost of the second table of the law, the highest and most important law among the laws governing our relationships with people. That's a stunning truth, to be the highest and most important law of the second table. The fourth commandment, in other words, is more important than the subject matter of murder, adultery, sexual impurity, property, reputation, etc. It is that commandment which sees God in our midst through his appointed representatives, especially our parents. It's the commandment that brings order, freedom, structure. It promotes loving service. It's a commandment that is so important to God that it is the only commandment that comes with a promise to us when we keep it, that we would live long on the earth. It's a commandment that protects and saves us from the anarchy of the sinful nature, to live for self, to put ourselves above the law of God, to live satanically, to always question God, to do life outside of structure and order. The sinful nature cannot stand God's order. We are primed to criticize God's order at every turn. His parents, for us, says our sin, those parents, they are wholly inadequate. His pastors, the spiritual fathers, are sorely lacking. The civil leaders, the civic fathers, are less than what they should be, to put it mildly. All of God's established authorities are the subject of our scorn and our ridicule. Satan is a rebel. He hated God, resisted God, and he replaced God. Our sinful nature wants to do the same thing towards God's appointed extensions of his authority upon the earth, beginning with our parents. And if we are to be obedient, it is only because the Holy Spirit will lead us to walk by faith and not by sight. As God hides himself, the world cannot see him or know him apart from his word. The enormous honor of his authority on earth is also hidden. We must cling to the word and live in faith towards our parents and all who govern us. Luther presents in his meeting of the fourth commandment, his elaborative teaching in the Large Catechism, a triad consideration. He touches on the corde, which is the heart, the ore, which are the words, and the opere, which are the works towards those in authority, beginning with our parents. We do not simply love our parents. We honor our parents from our hearts in the way that we speak to them and the work that we perform towards them. In the Large Catechism, Luther wrote, "For it is a far higher thing to honor someone than to love someone, because honor includes not only love, but also modesty, humility, and submission in a majesty that is hidden in those we serve and honor. Honor requires not only that parents be addressed kindly and with reverence, but also that both in the heart and in the body, we demonstrate that we value them highly and that next to God, we regard them as the very highest in our lives. Thus, it is for the Christian family and the church to teach the young," and this is Luther, quote, "that they should think of their parents as standing in God's place," unquote, "and that further parents are not to be deprived of honor because of their conduct or their failings. Luther goes on to teach what it means exactly to honor our parents. Here are 3 points from Luther. Number one, they must be held in distinction and esteem above all things as the most precious treasure on earth. Number two, in our words, we must speak modestly towards them. Do not address them roughly, haughtily, and defiantly, but yield to them and be silent even though they go too far. Number three, we must show them such honor also by works, that is, with our body and our possessions. We must serve them, help them, provide for them when they are old, sick, infirm, or poor." Luther, all of this we are called to do, as Luther says, not only gladly, but also with humility and reverence, as doing it before God. For the child who knows how to regard parents in his heart will not allow them to do without or to hunger, but will place them above him and at his side and will share with them whatever he has and possesses. And we do this not because of the worthiness of parents, but because this work is included in and controlled by the jewel and the sanctuary, namely the word and the commandment of God. After worshiping God, this is the highest work we can do. This is done by faith, not by sight. Because in sight, we can come up with many reasons why we should not do what God commands. Why honor parents who have been neglectful or parents who have been cruel? Why honor spiritual fathers who fall short of our expectations? Why honor civil authorities and other leaders who appear to be opposed to the most fundamental values and morals we hold? But when we scrutinize in order to excuse ourselves from the law of God, then we reject God's word. We reject God's truth that the Lord always knows what he is doing. He establishes the authorities no matter how inept they might appear to us. And he promises to work through them nonetheless. It is for us to pray, to love, and to most importantly, to honor them. We are called to love all people, but only called to honor parents and authorities which extend from them. In our culture today, we tolerate and we permit the highest forms of dishonor and disrespect. We think it's a joke on national television. And for this reason, our world is storing up God's wrath. From Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning at verse 18, I read this, not to confuse our republic with the theocracy of Israel back in the day, where after you hear this, you'll be quite glad that we're not under the theocracy today. But the point is that God is showing how important it is to follow the fourth commandment. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out of the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That is, the Lord is not playing games. He has appointed offices that are objectively valid by his authority. Parents hold an office. Pastors hold an office. Civil authorities like governors and presidents hold an office established by God. And they are to be honored. Thus, here, St. Paul, for example, who teaches us why, for example, we pray for our presidents in all of our divine services. And I've been with St. Paul's for over 20 years, and we've gone through the different platforms and the different presidents, and it's never mattered because we pray for them all. Here, 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That is, God knows what he's doing when he establishes his authorities. I am in large part what I am on account of my parents, and we can all say that. My father taught me invaluable things for my life. I was very close to him. And I can never thank God enough for my dad. But on account of things beyond his control when he was raised and his life experience, he did not know the grace of God in Christ, and he did not know the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that when I started to go to church as a teenager, he ridiculed what I was doing, and he did not support it. I was already learning the tension that comes between honoring authorities and Acts chapter 5, verse 29, that we must obey God rather than men. But God knew what he was doing, and he would permit me the great privilege of honoring my father by also sharing the gospel with him and having many conversations with him heart to heart. We became very close in being able to talk about the faith. God worked through my dad to bless me in ways I cannot enumerate, and the Lord also permitted me to honor him in ways that I could not have anticipated nor imagined. I got to hold his hand as he died, as he also held to the Holy Crucifix, confessing Jesus Christ. Judaism called the fourth commandment the heaviest among the heavy commandments. One reason for this is because it can be so hard to see God behind the masks of human authority figures who themselves, like us, are full of sin. And yet again, God does not call us to rely on our observations, but to keep his word before us and to do what he commands us to do. I've told the story before. I was always asking my mom when I was a boy, "But why? Why?" She would tell me something I would question, and her comeback was, "Because I told you so." She was training for obedience. Well, I vowed that if I ever had children, that I would give my children what they wanted. I would take long swaths of time to talk to my children, to teach, to answer, to explain, to instruct. Well, I learned that in many instances, while teaching is certainly vital, the best thing to say sometimes is exactly what my mother said. Sometimes we just need to be taught to obey. My mom knew what she was talking about. The greater reality, however, is that Christ knows what he is talking about. In Isaiah chapter 9, we receive the titles of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is also called Everlasting Father. He is not the Heavenly Father. The persons of the Godhead always remain distinct, but he is nevertheless our Good Shepherd, our leader. And in this sense, Jesus is our Everlasting Father. And his word is given us for our own good and for our true freedom. Trust the one who even extended his authority. He gave his authority to the pagan emperor, King Cyrus of Persia, to shepherd and to serve his people Israel. God knew what he was doing. Trust the one Jesus who submitted himself to a pagan Roman governor, a civic father, so that he could save us from sin and death. That's God's mysterious modus operandi. He works through earthly fathers and mothers, through spiritual fathers and pastors who are mere men, through civil leaders who bless us. Our call is to honor them. If we choose not to, then we hurt ourselves. If we do what God commands, by his Holy Spirit and the life of Christ, we have been incorporated into, then again, finally, we will know true freedom. We will embrace his gifts, no matter how inadequate they might seem, and we will be permitted to see the face of Christ within our parents, and perhaps especially in our parents, if we only behold them in faith as we honor them and do what is pleasing in the sight of God. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, he submitted to Joseph and Mary. He kept the law for us. He continues to work his saving work while forgiving us for our lack of honor, calling us back today to honor. Honor our biological and familial parents. Honor our spiritual parents. Honor our civil parents. We do so because Christ has made himself present in them and to work through them in ways we might not be able to see, but in ways nevertheless always to bless us. This is justice, to give honor due to them. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.